Monday, revival service, summer revival. This is July 26, 2021.
6 through the 28th at 7 o'clock p.m. We aim at 7 o'clock p.m. Our guest preacher, our guest evangelist for the week, Reverend Elijah Shapiro. I pray that you all will keep him in prayer, that God will use him in a very powerful way. He is the pastor of Greater St. Paul AME Church in Troy, Alabama. Amen. Revival call to worship. Lord, revive us again. Revive me from the weariness of calamities. Revive me from the burden of troubles. May I walk as a living testimony to many and speak of high praises of all that we have done. You have never left me or forsaken me, but you, oh Lord, have helped me through every trouble. May that truth alone be what wakes me every day to do your will. D4G to come and take the choir stand and then meet up at D4G. We'll be prepared to have a selection from D4G. Then we have our prayer and our scripture, and then we'll go from there. Amen. they are here. We want to ask them to come forth as they prepare to lead us in worship with song. Amen. Thank you, Brother Grant. Thank you, choir members, for making the adjustment of being here and being able to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Are you all excited about revival? Song as well as through this preacher, and I don't know about you all. I'm going to get my praise on, amen. I'm going to worship him in spirit as well as in truth, because the truth of the matter, the real deal this afternoon or this evening, if it had not been for God on my side, I'd still be lost, entertaining craziness and darkness. But because the Lord has saved me, brought me out. March Simmons to be prepared to give us our greetings. Our greetings to my guest, March Simmons. Our greetings to, amen. Christina, we're going to give us our greetings of tonight. We'll ask Reverend Josiah. Give us our prayer tonight, amen, and prepare to receive our breakthrough, amen, receive our blessing from the Lord, amen, amen. How are we doing?
We're good. How you doing?
Good.
Good to see you. 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 Hey, how are you doing? Look at this. Hey, look at that.
Book of Psalms, chapter 85, verse 6. And it reads thusly. Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. The word of God for the people of God. Someone shout, thanks be unto God.
Thank you.
Christian director will come forth and give us a greeting. And after that greeting, we want to ask our host to be prepared to give us our offering. And then we have a presentation of our guest evangelist, and then we will have a selection from the choir. At this time, a small sentence.
In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And I also bring you on behalf of the dynamic, one of a kind, nobody else like him, Pastor of John's Chapel Elmwood Church, the Reverend William White Jr. And on behalf of the officers and members of John's Chapel, I just want to let you all know how happy we are to have you tonight. It is a blessing to have Pastor Shabbat back with us.
Amen.
And he was here 2 years ago, and we're glad to have him back again. And he's been to visit since then, and he sort of blew up the pulpit both times that he's been here recently. And we say to our ministerial guests that we're glad to have you as well. We want you to know that last year we were not able to meet in this format for revival. But you know what? God was getting us ready for revival at this time last year.
Oh, yes.
So we praise him in a different way. We worship him in a different way since 2020. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to ask you to get into the service, enjoy this great choir destined for greatness, and just enjoy and worship the Lord tonight. We want you to know that our motto is, we're the church with unconditional love.
Amen.
When you come to John's Chapel, we are going to love you.
Amen.
Not just with words on a piece of paper,
Amen.
But words that flow from our heart, mind, and our soul.
Yeah.
We're so glad to have you, and we just want you to know that you are in the right at the right time. We're truly welcome. Thank you for coming. God bless
you. Amen. Bless you. Thank you, Mr. Simon. Thank God for you. Again, we are thankful and grateful for our church family as well as our guests are with us this evening. At this time, we're asking our hosts to come forth as prepared and our giving. We're asking all of our members. I thank our members, our annual offering is how much, Brother Brown?
$100?
How much? Not that much, is it? Is it?
Hell no, you're gonna do that.
It's not, amen. I mean, but is it that much? Help me, Dr. Nichols. Y'all gonna be shocked today. Thank you, thank you. Yes, yes. At this time, I'm going to ask that you all please stand. Let's stand all over the church. And we'll come around and give. We'll come around and give an offering for our leaders, for our ushers. Our ushers, they are here. Come on around, come around and give. We'll go to the pulpit, come around the pulpit. Then we're going to give. Give.
Thank you.
amen, and support our revival. Amen. Come on and bless the Lord for that. Amen. Anytime that will come to give this offer. Yes, Jesus. Amen, amen. Bless you. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Time now for presentation of our guest preacher. I've been praying for this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. Reverend Elijah Shabal, again, the great pastor. Greater St. Paul African Methodist Episcopal Church in the great city of Troy, Alabama. Thank God for him. We do acknowledge the glory of God here with us tonight. We are thankful and grateful for Sister, amen, Khadija, amen, amen, his daughter in the ministry. We're also thankful and grateful for his son in the ministry, Reverend, amen, Josiah. Here with us tonight. Thank God for his spouse, amen. Sister Josiah being with us, amen. Tonight, thank God for the children here with us also, amen. Amen. It's, thank God for our officers from here in our church. I'm so grateful and thankful for Johnson Shepherd membership. The church, we know how to get it done, amen. Amen. I thank God for you. We're grateful for all of our guests who are here with us tonight, amen. It's preaching time.
Amen.
I say this, it's preaching time.
Yay.
It's time now for us to hear from God.
Yeah.
Preaching is when a person receives a divine word from God. When a person receives a divine word from God. And we thank God for blessing us with a pastor preacher who has received a divine word from the Lord. And once when God has given you that word, you're able to understand the power is not in the storyteller, but the power is in the story. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
When God has given you a word from on high, the power is not in the storyteller.
Yeah.
The power is in the story. And we thank God for this pastor preacher. Got good head knowledge, but most of all, he has a heart relationship with God. Let us not sin in judgment, but let us sin in prayer. Can you point your right finger at the preacher? Hey, amen. It's all the time you get illegally pointed at the preacher, amen. And shake that finger, amen. That's the last one. We want to see Christ. Choice will be your friend, my friend, our friend, Pastor Elijah Shabbat. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
His name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me. Delivered me from all my fears. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Can y'all just put your hands together and praise God in this place? What a joy it is to stand in your presence on tonight. Certainly reverence the Spirit of the Lord that we can truly feel in this house on tonight. Thank God that every now and then God chooses to show up, not on a Sunday night, but on a Monday night. So I'm grateful and honored to be here, led by and of the Spirit of the Lord, to your distinguished pastor, the angel in this house. Can we just put our hands together and celebrate Pastor Wayne White for the dynamic work that he is doing here in Enterprise, here at John's Chapel, for the tremendous impact that this church, this ministry is having, not only in the immediate area, but in the surrounding area. We praise God for the work of ministry. Yeah. We praise God for the leader of this flock. Yeah. To the officers and members of John's Chapel, thank you for all that you do, because wherever there's good leadership, one always has to have good fellowship. And so we praise God for the fellowship here that's at John's Chapel. We can celebrate that with our hands. To my son, the Reverend Josiah Higgins, the pastor of St. Luke Church in Louisville. To my daughter in ministry, who serves on staff, the young adult pastor, Sister Khadija Neely. Can we praise God for my son and my daughter in ministry? And to these angelic voices known as destined for greatness, can we celebrate this wonderful choir here on tonight? God bless you. Thank you, Pastor White, for this marvelous opportunity. I know you know a lot of preachers, and if Pastor White is anything like me, I don't share my sacred space with just anybody. And one of the bishops of the church has a saying that you can tell the pastor's love for his or her congregation based on who he allows to preach to his church. And so I'm grateful, Pastor White, for this opportunity. It's preaching time. Amen. To all my friends I see out in the congregation, to Sister Marge, God bless you. Thank you for your friendship across the years. And to all of you, I greet you on tonight in the joy of Jesus. There is a word from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite your attention to a very familiar passage of Scripture that's found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 5. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And I want to lift up reading 21st verse, verse 21 through 24. Then I want us to drop down to verse 35 through 43. And when you have it, make it known by saying amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. Begin reading at the 21st verse. As we open this revival, it reads this way. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him. He was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now let's drop down to verse 35. While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader, the synagogue, he saw a commotion. People weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. Then he put all of them outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was, took her by the hand, and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." Somebody shout, "Get up."
Yeah.
Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, "Get up."
Yeah.
It's revival time. Come on, and shout it one more time. Say, "Get up."
Yeah.
And immediately the girl got up, began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. Strictly ordered them that no one should know this. Told them to give her something to eat. My brothers and my sisters, on this opening night of revival, I want to preach from this thought: pardon the interruption. Pardon the interruption. Let us bow, let us pray. God, we thank you for this moment. Come now, Holy Spirit, show yourself strong. Show yourself mighty. For the preaching of this word, this we ask in the mighty Master's name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Pardon the interruption. Can I take my time just a little bit? Beloved, more than just the unexpected, a tragedy can leave each and every one of us in a precarious predicament. Regardless of how strong we are mentally, how fortified we are emotionally, and how resilient we are psychologically, when a tragedy occurs in our lives, we will often find ourselves reeling, because tragedies, more often than not, leave us breathless, bewildered, and broken. My brothers and my sisters, oftentimes moments that catch us off guard are really divine interventions. They're divine interruptions. That's what you need to know, that anytime God allows you to go through a moment of doubt, they present you with faith-building opportunities. Have you ever found yourself in a situation in life where you had one of those unforeseen twists of turns that left you pondering and asking the question of why? Have you ever been in a place where you had to look at God and say, "Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me?" Have you ever been there before where you had to ask God, "Why can I not seem to catch a break anyway?" Have you ever been there before where you asked God the question, "Why so crazy? I mean, after all I've done, after all the sacrifices I made, why is it that they seem like they don't even know God, let alone been in the church?" You know, been diagnosed with this incurable disease. You ever been there before when you had to ask God, why is it me that had to lose my job when I'm faithful and I tithe and I try my best to treat folk right? Lord, on today, the tension that we have is when you don't get a satisfactory answer to your why questions, you can find yourself easing into a state of doubt. Without appropriate answers to your why questions, you can find yourself beginning to doubt the fundamental principles that you stood on for years. Without satisfactory answers to your why questions, you can find yourself even doubting the existence of God. God, if you're still on the throne, why is it that you allow me to go through what I'm going through? Can I tell you on tonight that the devil wants to create a corner and cause you to start doubting God? She's at the point of death. And what I need to let us know on tonight, those of us who have children, that sometimes you've got to be willing to stand in the gap for your child. No matter how many times they skip school, no matter how many times it looks like they're going to break your heart, no matter how many times they look like they're going to be a disappointment, you've got to make up in your mind that God blessed you with that boy. Jesus and told him, Lord, preacher to come to my house and lay hands on my door. Which brings me to my first point. And my first point is you've got to learn how to focus in your faith. Somebody shout, focus in your faith. I came to preach to every believer in here that needs the Lord to do something in your life. I'm talking to somebody who came to revival on tonight who needs the Lord to shift the atmosphere, who needs chains to fall off and burdens to be lifted. You've got to learn how to focus in your faith. Jairus goes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, come to my house. But while he is going to Jairus' house, there's a woman who has an issue of blood. And the Bible says that this woman comes up behind Jesus and touches his garment, and immediately she's healed. But Jesus has to stop and turn around. Somebody else came. Somebody else cut in line who was not a part of the plan. The woman with the issue gets healed, but Jairus' daughter is still sick at home. Now, let me preach the way I feel it. Some of you all in here right now are mad that somebody is driving a car that you want. Or somebody else got the job that you thought you deserved. Somebody got the person, the man or the woman that you want to be with. But can I tell you, you don't have to hate on nobody else's blessing. You don't have to be mad that somebody got promoted. You don't have to get angry because somebody got married or somebody got a new house, because the same God that blessed that person is the same God that can bless you. Story. There's a story about a man who had two small dogs, and he always looked forward to coming home from traveling, because no matter what was going on, the two small dogs would always run and meet him when he came through the door. And he said something strange happened one day. He came home and he had some bags in his hands, and the two dogs came running to meet their master. Now, because he only has two hands, he picked up one dog and started to play with one dog. And the dog licked them all in his face and kissed them all over his face. But when he looked down, he saw dog number two standing on his hind legs, rocking from side to side. And he said something dropped in his spirit, because dog number two wasn't mad that dog number one was already in the master's hand. But dog number two was on his hind legs. In other words, he was saying, when you get through playing, Jesus to hurry up, but he stays focused on the Lord. The Bible says that after Jesus is interrupted by the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, that word makes it to Jairus that his daughter is already dead. Point number two, you got to form the right mindset. I'm tired of Christians walking around with their heads down. As if God doesn't have the power to bring life to dead situations. Ooh, somebody ought to shout hallelujah right there. How many know God can turn it around? How many know God can turn it around? How many know God can turn it around? That no matter what you're going through, God is able to turn it around. God is able to bring new life on your marriage. God is able to mend your brokenness. God is able to heal your hurts. Because every now and then you got to learn that when you're going through, get the right mindset. And every now and then you got to learn how to encourage your own self. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout thank you, Lord. Every now and then you got to get in the mirror and say, I'm going to make it. You got to encourage yourself that after a while and by and by, God's going to get me out of this. Listen to this. When you form the right mindset, it's got to be informed with what Jesus says. And in the text on tonight's verse 35 says that while he was speaking, some people came from Jairus' house to tell them, your daughter is already dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But verse 36 tells us how we ought to form the right mindset, because the right mindset has to be informed with the word of God. Verse 36 says, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to Jairus, do not fear, only believe. Church folk don't know how to shout. But Jesus said, no matter what you're dealing with, don't listen to what folk are saying. But you gotta listen to what? I'm gonna talk to this crowd. He says, don't listen to what they say, but listen to what I'm saying. Can I get the choir to give me some help? He says, don't listen to what they say, but listen to what tonight. But you came to church chapel. You came because you needed the Lord to do something in your life. And I need to let every twice born blood-bought believer know that don't you let the enemy synagogue, he saw a commotion. People weeping and wailing out loud. And what you need to know, at this time, in the Jewish custom, they had what they call professional mourners. Professional mourners were people who were paid to act sad and cry. And I came to tell somebody, you've got some people in your life that deserve an Oscar award because they're just playing a role because they're not real. God knows that if I ever needed some real people, that when he entered, he said to them, why do you make such a commotion? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Can I work my argument just a little bit? And the word says they laughed at him. Has anybody ever laughed at you before? I can only imagine what Jairus must have felt. He must have felt like it ain't even worth it no more. He felt like giving up. And somebody in here right now feels like giving up. But I came to tell you, keep fighting. Matter of fact, encourage your neighbor and say, keep fighting. Find one more person and say, keep fighting. Fight when they expect you to give in. Fight when they don't think you're going to show up.
Face up.
something happens in the text that really blows my mind. Jesus said, the little girl ain't dead. But she just sleep. And that sliver of scripture blessed me. Because other folk can call you dead. Other folk can get some dirt and throw it on you. But look at what Jesus said. She ain't dead.
Instead of looking at the problem, you start looking at possibilities. Come on.
p.m. And so if we can get out before 9 o'clock, it is now 8:30. Amen. Good time. Good time. And it's time to move here for my evangelist as he gives us instructions. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Come on.
God bless you, beloved. Anybody was blessed by the word on tonight? God bless you. I would be remiss if I did not tell you that the better half, my better half, could not be with us tonight. She is carrying our fourth child. Amen. So she is at home. She is resting per the doctor's order. And she wished she could be here tonight, but she will be here with us on Wednesday night when a remnant of Greater St. Paul will be here with us. I want to thank you for all that you have done in support of this revival. If you were blessed on tonight, let's take this thing higher. We just lit the match tonight. And tomorrow we go just a little higher. So I want to see you on tomorrow night. Let us all stand. I want you to repeat after me. I'm not going to be mad.
I'm not going to be mad.
When somebody gets blessed.
Somebody gets blessed.
I'm just going to get close.
To the blessing.
I'm going to form the right mindset. I'm going to focus in my faith. And I'm going to fight.
Regardless
of the interruptions, because every now and then God gives interruptions. But a preacher came tonight to say, pardon the interruption. See you tomorrow night.